reading verses 6 all the way down through verse 9. Let's all stand, shall we, for the reading of God's Word. Beginning with verse 6 now, in 1 Samuel chapter 15, notice what the Bible says. And Saul said unto the Kenites, "Go, depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For ye showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt." So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah even unto until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, of the fatlings, and the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse that they destroyed utterly. And let's pray together. Father, I pray that you bless us now. Thank you for this time together. It's been a great day showing our love for America, and we surely thank you for just pouring your grace upon this great country. Thank you, Lord, that we're Americans. And Lord, I pray that you continue to bless our country. Forgive us for where we've steered wrong. Forgive us for where the moves have been made in defiance of your clear teachings in your wonderful book. Lord, we stand before you guilty in many respects of defying the living God. And I pray that you'd help us to just learn from this passage tonight about obedience, about rebelling. Please speak to our hearts. Thank you for it. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to speak to you tonight on how to spot a rebel. How to spot a rebel. The Bible says rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. I was up in the Detroit, Michigan area, actually Dearborn, Michigan, a number of years ago. And I was there. I can't remember why I was there. I know my wife was there. And we were able to go into the Henry Ford Museum. Anybody ever seen that? Okay, we're New Englanders here, and I understand. But I was there in Dearborn, Michigan, and went into and saw the museum there at Henry Ford. Henry Ford built, of course, a great automotive plant. And he didn't know anything really about building the plant, but of course, he did know about cars. He hired a dwarf by the name of Charlie Steinmetz. And Charlie Steinmetz basically put together that automotive plant, put all the mechanisms together and electrically. He was just a wizard electrically. He hired him for that purpose. One day the plant just went totally black. Of course, all the big things that he used to put together the cars, they wouldn't work electrically. That place just went dead. And he called up Mr. Steinmetz. He said, "Mr. Steinmetz, I've tried. I've gotten my people. Nobody can figure this up. You're the one that put it together. Will you come down and help us?" He said, "Sure, I'll come down." And he spent just a little bit, in fact, less than an hour, I'm told, and did this and did that, and finally got up and going. There were lights, electricity was going, everything was working, everything was fine. Mr. Ford congratulated him and thanked him for it, and he went on his way. Well, a few weeks later, Mr. Ford got a letter, and he got a bill. And the bill said, for what you've given for the work that I did for you, $10,000. Now, back then, $10,000 was a lot of money. And Mr. Ford wrote him back, took the bill and wrote him back, and he said, "I cannot understand how you could give me a bill for $10,000 for the amount of work that you put into that. You did so little for what you did. I just can't believe you would give me a bill for $10,000. And he sent him the bill back, and he put a note attached to the bill, and this is what he said. He said, "For tinkering around on the motor, $10. For knowing where to tinker, $9,900. Now, I like that. Knowledge is something, isn't it? And now I'm going to tinker tonight, I think, about something about rebellion. I don't know where you are in your Christian life, but I know rebellion in the Christian life is prevalent among Christians. Many Christians get rebellious sometime in their life. Praise God. By the way, if you're not rebellious towards this word, thank God. But you know, rebellion can happen to anybody. And the Bible says rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. Sometimes we wonder, what happens to people? Why do people, I meet them all the time, knocking doors, Christians. There's many Christians out beyond these doors that aren't going to church anywhere. They once used to be inside a church house, and they're saved. They're on the way to heaven. They're not going anywhere. What happened to them? Many times they got rebellious towards the word of the Lord. Many times they got bitter. But most of the time, the reason that they get out of church, they get out of fellowship with the Lord for one reason or another, get bitter in some areas of their life. Now I'm going to talk to you about how to recognize or spot a rebel. Now, parents, you need to watch your children, because your children can get rebellious. Oh, they're little now. The girls. You won't very often see a rebellious young person like that. Occasionally you will, but you wait till they get to the teen years. Parents, you better keep that relationship close, because I'm telling you, when they get preteens and teens, they can become rebellious overnight. Before you know it, you have a rebellious teenager on your hand. You won't know what to do. So I'm going to try to help you. I'm going to try to show you how to recognize a rebel or a rebellious person. Saul was a rebellious man, rebellious towards the things of God. God gave him clear instructions what to do. He disregarded it. He thought he was doing right. In his own mind, he figured he was doing right. But as I said this morning, partial obedience is complete disobedience. Sometimes we think, yeah, I'm obeying God. But no, unless you're obeying completely, you're disobedient. Years ago, when I was in Tennessee, I guess it's been, I've been here 3.5 years, I guess it's been 5 to 6 years, a young man came into my office after the church service. He told me he'd like to speak to me. He'd been out of church, in our church, for a number of months, and he came to me in the morning service and said, Pastor, can I see you after church? I said, sure. And so after church, he waited around, he hung around, and he came in to see me. A young man, about 21, 22 years of age, maybe 23 years of age. And he came in to see me, and he looked at me, and boy, I love this man. I just a young man, a wonderful man. I loved him with all my heart. And he looked at me and he said, Pastor, he said, I just want to tell you something. I said, well, what is it you want to say? He said, I want to let you know that I've been away from God, and I want you to know what happened in my life just recently. And I just feel like I need to talk to somebody, and the Lord put you on my mind. And he began to talk. He said, last week, your girls, my two daughters, came soul winning, knocked on my door. They didn't know they were knocking on my door. I could tell, he said. He said, I don't even know if they recognized me because of the way I look, but they knocked on my door. And he said, when they knocked on my door and they started talking to me about church and asked me if I knew for sure I was going to heaven, he said, I immediately realized where I was in my life. I was so far away from God. And he said, I just want to thank you. He said, first of all, I want to thank you that this church goes soul winning. And he said, number two, he said, don't ever stop soul winning. Don't ever stop sending your girls and your children out soul winning. He said, you don't understand, and they don't understand what a difference they made in my life. And then began to tell me. He said, I just had to borrow $5,000 from my mom, because I'm in trouble with a drug dealer. And he said, my mom is crying right now. He said, my mom is brokenhearted. He said, she had to dig into her life savings, and he said, and she would do it for me again, I'm sure. She told me that it was no problem. She'd try to help me. And he said, but preacher, you don't understand. I broke my mom's heart. She never intended for me to get involved in drugs. I looked at him. I said, "How you were brought up right? How did it start? How did it happen?" He said, "I went to a Christian college." He said, "My parents wanted me to go somewhere, a Christian college, and I decided I wanted to go my way in a Christian college. I thought going to a Christian college would pacify my parents, and so I got out of the will of God, went to a Christian college that they said that they didn't want me to go to, but I went to a Christian college." And he said, "They were right. There were bad people in the Christian college. By the way, there's bad people anywhere. There's bad people in church. There's bad people in Plymouth. There's bad people in Carver. It doesn't matter just because you go. There's a bad crowd anywhere you go. Jesus hung around 12 disciples. One of them was bad. There's one man he shouldn't hang around with. None of them should have. And so anywhere you go, there's going to be a bad crowd. You need to teach your kids to identify the bad crowd and to stay away from the bad crowd. There are just bad people. And of course, he was away from God. He wasn't in the book. He wasn't praying. He wasn't doing what he should be doing. And he got involved with the wrong crowd. That wrong crowd was doing drugs. And before long, he got kicked out of school. And of course, his parents were horrified. They were upset. And they were just saddened greatly. And he came home. And as he came home, he got found the wrong crowd again. Got tied up in drugs, and before you know it, his habit of taking drugs, just small drugs, he said, just marijuana, and he mentioned another one, and I don't know what it was, angel's dust, does that sound right? Some things like that, and he began to mention some drugs that he'd been, and all of a sudden, he went from a taker to a dealer, and he got involved with the wrong people, and all of a sudden, he needed $5,000 to cover his debt, and cried. And he said, Pastor, just don't stop doing what you're doing. You don't know. Those girls, your daughters, he said, came by my door and knocked on my door. And it was like, God, giving me a wake-up call to get right. And he said, so I'm in church today. Thank God. Amen. Sometimes we go door knocking and we think, boy, I'm not accomplishing anything. Just keep doing it. Amen. Just keep doing it. And some of you think, I don't want to go. Let's just get involved doing what's right. Somebody told me the other day, it doesn't work in New England. You can't do it. It doesn't work. Everything I've been trying doesn't work in New England. It may not work, but we still have a mandate from this book to do what's right. We ought to do what's right even if nothing happens. Amen. I just happen to believe God will bless us for doing what he tells us to do. He sends people. There's people here tonight come in the last couple months. I didn't knock on their door, but God knew that they needed to be in a good church. Amen. And God knew them where to put them, and we were obeying them, going knocking on doors, and God sent people our way. Just do. Hey, it's time we just did it right, no matter what. Ladies out soul winning yesterday. And talk to some ladies, and that's a good thing. They didn't come to church, but you know what? You did right, ladies. God bless you. You did right. Thank you for being obedient. Now, this young man was rebellious, and he was away from God. By the way, I just asked somebody the other day, I said, how's so-and-so doing? He's doing good. He's married now. Found a good lady, and he's in church. He's not coming to church like we want him to be coming to church, but he's in church. And thank God for that. Thank God for that. And I'm proud of my girls. And I say that I'm just proud that my girls continue to do right. And my son does right. And that just blesses my heart. Now, get to the meat of the matter here because I don't want to spend all night. Time is advancing quickly. I want you to see from Scripture how to identify a rebel. How to recognize a rebel. I want you to look at verse number 9. Look at verse number 9 there. Now you understand. Go to verse number 2 up there first. Let's look at verse 2 first. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. God doesn't like Amalek, and again, Amalek represents the flesh. Now go and smite Amalek, God says, and utterly destroy all that they have. Spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. All right, there's the instructions. The instructions are take care of everything, don't leave anything. Every man, every woman, every child, every animal, destroy it, get rid of it, leave nothing. That's the instructions, amen? Are you with me? All right, now, verse number 9. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and the oxen, and of the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. I want you to notice how to recognize a rebel. Number one, they redefine the rules. They redefine the rules. A lot of people that are rebellious don't like, by the way, a person's rebellious is a person that goes against authority. And that's why as children, you need to raise your kids up that, hey, mom and dad, they're the authority. You do what we say to do. And it'd be good to give them instruction, a list of things to obey. And when they don't obey, but good night, if they don't obey, they need to know there's consequences for disobedience. If we don't teach them in the home that disobedience has its own reward, when they're out of the home, they'll be disobedient. Man, they'll be dire consequences. Teach them in the home that disobeying has consequences. He rewrote the rules. The rules don't apply to me, he said. Look, everywhere you go, you're going to encounter rules. Everywhere. You go down the road, you get in your car tonight, and you slip out of this parking lot tonight and start to drive, and immediately there's a rule. You know what that rule is? There's a speed limit. Hello, there's a speed limit out there, some of you. I know you don't look at that, but there's a speed limit. Now look, the rules are there not to get you upset, not to get you cursing and say, why the stupid people put it so long. They're not there. Those rules are for, you know why they're there? They're there for your protection. But sometimes we say, well, I don't like the rules, and we rewrite the rules and say, this is the way it should be. Speed limit should be 80 miles an hour instead of 75. Well, you know what? You didn't make the rules, and I didn't make the rules, and as long as we didn't make the rules, we are to obey the rules. Amen. And going down through 44 here, going to Middleboro. It is a trap. I'd say 75% of the time I drive on that road, somebody's pulled over. I get on that road and I start going the speed limit. Boy, people behind me, all of a sudden a big line develops. And I can just, sometimes they'll honk or I get to the light and like that. I mean, I don't even have time to get go, put on the gas pedal. Whoo, they're behind me. They don't get any further. And I told you a story. Somebody did it to me the other day, months ago, and I finally got up there at the Rotary there in Middleboro. Did I say Murfreesboro? I might have, but you knew what I meant, Middleboro there, and I got up to the light, Middleboro at the Rotary, and got along, went around that Rotary, went to the next light, and there was the guy that passed me. He was one car in front of me, and he was getting a ticket for nothing. Just because he figured, these rules, I don't want to go that slow. You're not going to get that far ahead. A rebel redefines the rules. That means we're supposed to follow the rules, but we don't like the rules, so we redefine them. Saul said, you know what? I spared the best. Well, you know what? God said, get rid of everything. Well, I spared the best. You know what? It doesn't matter how we look at things. It matters what is said. And God says, what gives us clear instructions? All we have to do is obey it. I know we're all flesh. We all disobey at times. But you know what? You spot a rebel, and a rebel wants to redefine the rules. Number two, as I go quickly, look at verse number 11. It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he is turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel. Notice what it did. It grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. Number two, rebels reward people, other people, with sorrow. Rebels reward others with sorrow. There's a lot of parents cry themselves to sleep over sons and daughters that have rebelled against authority. I'm telling you. And it happens. It can happen in any household. And I'm just telling you, it can happen anywhere. A rebel will cause a lot of sorrow for other people. If a child is away from you, he is away from God. Let me say that again. If a child is away from you, he's away from God. You know what we do? We tend to blame ourselves. In the household, that child is to obey mom and dad in the Lord. That means as long as within the confines of this book, They are to obey you. If you tell them to go steal or to go murder, that's not in the Lord. But as long as it's within the confines of this book, those children are supposed to obey mom and dad. If they're not obeying you, that means they're away from you and they're away from God. You're not going to find somebody away from mom and dad that's not away from God. If they're away from mom and dad, they're away from God, because God said, children, obey your parents. Amen. Simple as that. Now, sometimes as parents, we think we're too hard on kids, don't we? We're just too hard. I know what the Bible says, provoke not your children to wrath. I understand that. But you know what? You have rules in your home, and you develop a relationship with that child when they're young. And as they grow older, as I said in the marriage class, as they grow older, they begin that time where they begin weaning themselves from mom and dad, and they grow apart. And it's awful important to develop that relationship with that child. That's one reason why I think mom needs to be with that child. And that child needs to be with mom, develop that relationship. A child that is afraid of breaking the heart of mom and dad is a good thing. You know you've succeeded. If that child could care less about breaking mom and dad's heart, you've done something wrong. But when that child gets away and they are tempted with sin and tempted to do something wrong and immediately think, what would mom and dad do? What would they think about this? And they think about the tears that stream down mom and dad's cheek. You've done a good thing. Rebels reward others with sorrow. A rebel doesn't care that they break mom and dad's heart. They could care less. Care less. They could care less they break a preacher's heart. Were you like me tonight? As I saw those three girls stand up here. And I almost began to cry. I thought, dear God, keep them pure. Dear God, keep them pure. Dear God, give mom and dad wisdom in raising them. Keep them as pure as they are as 5, 6, 7, 8-year-olds. So when they're 13, 14, and 15. Help them to walk down that aisle pure. Rebel doesn't care that they break their parents' heart. And Saul didn't care what Samuel thought either. Care less. I'm going to do it my way. That's what a rebel do. I'm going to do it my way. Own agenda. Number three, as I haste it. Number three. Look at verse 13. And Samuel came to Saul. Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. With a rebel, a rebuke will come from someone sent by God. A rebuke will come from someone sent by God. Here comes Samuel. Remember David? God sent somebody to rebuke David when he fell into sin and committed adultery with Bathsheba, had Uriah killed, conspired to kill him, put him in the lead of the army there and had him killed. God sent somebody. Remember who he sent? He sent Nathan the prophet. God always goes to the rebel and sends somebody in his name to help him. Always does. Because you know what? God's merciful. And God loves us. And God wants us to get us right. But you know what? If we're not going to be submissive to mom and dad, listen now. If we're not, children are not going to be submissive to mom and dad. If there's a problem in the home and they reject authority and they're not submissive, they're not going to be submissive to a preacher. Listen now. When I preach the word and I say this is what God says, if they're not obedient in the home, they won't be obedient to this book. And by the way, that's why please don't criticize the preacher in the presence of your children. There may come a time when you need me. And if you're sitting there being critical of me around the dinner table, and these preacher, I need you, and in comes little Johnny Jr. into my office and I'm trying to help them, they're not going to listen to me. Mom and dad have tore me up, spit me out, chewed me up, thrown me away. Don't be critical of the preacher. I know I'm not perfect. Look, I'm standing here. I'm not perfect. But please don't be critical of me in front of the kids. Amen. Amen. There may be a time when you really need your preacher, and I'm not going to be able to help you if you've been critical of me in front of in their presence. I won't be able to help you. Somebody's going to be sent by God to straighten that rebel out. It may be a pastor, maybe a sermon. By the way, that's why it's important to pay attention during the preaching. Amen. That's important why distractions should be kept to a minimum. And it's important to pay attention, set the example. But God will send somebody to try to get a hold of that rebel's heart. Now, look at also verse 13. Let's read it one more time. Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Here's another one. A rebel is a religious phony. Oh yes, Saul, I performed the commandment of the Lord. You liar. You liar. When you perform the commandment of the Lord, he told you to get rid of everything, didn't he? Didn't he? Oh yeah, I've done that. And a rebel is a religious phony. Boy, they're good. They make themselves look good, but down inside there's a heart there that is rebellious, and God knows it. They're a religious phony. You know what rebels do? Rebels pick apart the church. They pick it apart. You mark it down. You see somebody that's rebellious, in a rebellious state, they'll start being negative towards this church. You know what? There may be negative things going on here, but you know what? There's a lot of positive going on here. There's a lot of good things happening here. But a rebellious person will look at the negative, and boy, they'll start picking this apart, picking that apart, picking that apart, picking that apart. They're a religious phony. You know what? I wonder if we had everybody up here and we started saying positive and negative about each one of us. I wonder if we could find negative on anybody. How about you? But wait a minute. My wife's not here. She's downstairs. You know what? My wife's not perfect, but my wife's a pretty good person. Amen. I love her with all my heart. She's not perfect, but there's an awful lot of good things about my wife. But if we start taking somebody and put them up here, let's talk about this person. Anybody know any negative? We had some of the couples up here. We sent up the couples and the spouse, and we asked the spouse, anything negative about them? Oh boy, and I gave you an open auditorium to tell the negative. Now, some of you said, well, I wouldn't do that to my spouse. But if you could do it in private with only God listening, yeah, you'd take advantage of that, wouldn't you? But you know what? You know what? As much negative maybe there is in your spouse, there is positive. And you know why marriages break apart many times? Because we focus on the negative. Negative, 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 negative. Hey, did you ever see any negative in your spouse before you married them? Or were they perfect in your eyes? If they were perfect, may I say this to you? You weren't with them long enough. Because you hang around anybody long enough, you'll start seeing negative. You'll start seeing the clay surface. Amen. I've been here 3.5 years. If you've been here for the whole 3.5 years, I'm not what you thought when I came, and I know that. Because you have seen me close up. You've seen me made of clay. You've seen me make mistakes. You've seen my negative points. And if you just focus on that, you won't be around another 3.5 years. Amen. You got to get away from the negative and focus on the positive. A rebel is a religious phony. Look at verse number 14. And Samuel said, What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ear, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Now notice what Saul says in verse 15. Saul said, They have brought them. You know what a rebel does? He refuses to blame himself.
It's somebody else. They did it. I didn't do it. A rebel does no wrong.
That's why they redefine the rules. Because if they don't redefine the rules, then they would look wrong. A rebel does no wrong. Hey, watch this in your home. You tell somebody, hey, you didn't do that.
I didn't do wrong. That wasn't me. That was sister. That was brother. Always somebody else, never me. Watch it. Watch it. That child, you better do something. Get a hold of it right away because that child is beginning rebellion right now.
I told you the story. I hate to talk about my kids, but I think I've told the story, so I'll just tell it again. My daughter one day was being a little rebellious. She was about 12, I think, 12 or 13, 7th, 8th grade. She was being rebellious, and I told her to do something, and she didn't like it. For the only time in her life, I'm not going to say who it is. I may have said the name before, but only time in her life, she looked at me and she said, I hate you. Now, when she said that, immediately, we got a rebellion problem here. Because if you don't respect me and you're not afraid to say that, we got a problem. Go to your room.
Oh, Dad,
go to your room. She went to her room. Now, she's about the age of 12 or 13. In fact, she was going to go out with her friends that night. Guess what? She didn't go. In fact, that was a Friday night. I said, you stay in your room all night. But Dad, stay in your room all night. Don't come out.
But Dad,
stay in your room. Saturday morning, we have breakfast together. Dad, can I come out now? Stay in your room. Go back to your room.
But Dad,
go to your room. All Saturday, she stayed in her room. Preacher, why? Because I detected rebellion. And at 12 or 13, that's a very serious thing. If I don't get a hold of it right then, I may never get a hold of it. She stayed there Friday night. She stayed there Saturday. Then Sunday we came, was church. By the way, I didn't have her stay at home and miss church. What in the world is wrong with parents? Well, I'm punishing my child. You're not going to church. Why take away something good and right and God says to do it? Why punish somebody by telling them they're not going to church? Do you know what you're telling that child? Do you even think about it? Finally, she came out. She said, do I get to go out of my room today? I said, I don't think so. She began to cry. She walked back to her room, and she cried big tears. And by then, I think she was broken. And I walked back, and I said, do you still hate your daddy? Boy, it just... She gave her dad a hug, and I knew that she was broken. But you know what? Took Friday night, took all Saturday. I wasn't messing around. And then Sunday morning. I dare any of you parents to take your child and to say they love you as much as my daughter loves me. One time she said she hated me, but that girl, I'm telling you what, of all my kids, when Daddy was in the hospital having surgery, of all my kids, that person was there all day long, never left, right by my side, cried when the doctor come in. She has a very, very soft heart. But look, she didn't when she said, I hate you. And it may come when your children say they hate you. And you know, once you let it out, the damage is done. And out of the abundance of the heart, man speaketh. What was inside the heart was evidenced by the words. And when you have evidence in the way of words, you better act upon what you hear. And I had to act. Watch your child. Watch your child. Watch it. Because a rebel can do no wrong. Never. They can't do any wrong. They think they're right on everything. Always be careful about that. A rebel refuses to take the blame. And then the last thing, time is quickly getting away. Look at verse number 35. And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel. A rebel ruins relationships. A rebel ruins relationships. Now watch me. I'm going to be... Sean, are you back there? Give me that. Now... Okay, last point. A rebel ruins relationships. Now follow me. Luke chapter number 15, there are three parables. The last parable is the parable of the prodigal son. The prodigal son was rebellious towards dad. Prodigal son, give me what you owe, what I'm owed. I'm out of here. I don't like your rules anymore. I want to be on my own. Here's the thing about a rebel. A rebel values things more than relationships, and that's why there's rebellion. They don't value relationships. Now watch me. Luke chapter 15, the prodigal son, he left with all his money. But you know what that dad did? That dad didn't go after him. That dad kept doing what he was supposed to do, and he yearned for the day when that son would come back, but he never went after him. Now watch this. When that rebel of a son, he got to the end of his rope, he spent everything he had. God brought him to a place in his life where things really didn't matter too much anymore, did they? And he came back looking for who? Dad. The things were taken away, and now, oh, I want to go back. If I'd just be a hired servant in dad's house, this would be better than what... Then the relationship became in focus where God wanted it to be focused. And that young man came back looking for dad, and what did dad do? He rejoiced. He didn't give him what for. How could you be... You want to come back here? I'll tell you what. With your attitude, boy, you're never coming back here. I don't even know. He didn't do that. I think that dad just knew that he could not push himself on his son, that God had to bring him to the end of his time, end of his way, to value money and things where it didn't really matter. And God had to do that, and he waited patiently, and he prayed, I'm sure. And one day that boy came back, and what did that dad do? Son, I love you. Get the fatted calf. Let's have a party. My son who is lost is now home. You see, a rebel devalues relationships and values things and money more. And he's got to get to the point where that relationship really matters. You see, that's why as parents, stay close to your kids. Please stay close to your kids. Dads, when you come home from work and you don't feel like doing anything, you get your kids and spend 10 minutes or so just with that child one-on-one, loving that child, and keep that relationship close. Because what happens is they grow up, they become this way, and you too become this way because you don't have time and you're busy and you're tired. And as they keep going this way, all of a sudden, the devil has his way, just putting a wedge in there between you and them, the relationship's destroyed, and then things become more important. A girl, she starts hanging around girls, parents first, parents, then girls, a girl, then boys, and then a boy. Mom and dad, meanwhile, they become second fiddle in many places. And it would behoove you as a parent to stay so close with your child. I'm talking when they're 10, 11, 12 years old, you stay close. And 13, and 14, and 15. You let them be your buddy that they can come to and talk to. You discipline them. I'm not saying you can't discipline. You can discipline them and still have a relationship. They're looking for somebody to tell them and toe the line, hey, you can't cross that. They're looking for that. They're looking for guidance. But you stay close to them. How to spot a rebel? Let me say it again. Number one, he redefines the rules. Number two, he rewards others with sorrow. Number three, a rebuke will come from someone sent by God. Number four, a rebel is a religious phony. Number five, rebels refuse to take the blame. Number six, a rebel ruins relationships. Hey, do you spot rebellion in you? Number one. Number two, how about your family? Is there any rebellion there? There certainly needs to be done something. Let's all stand, shall we? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, I pray that you'd help us. Lord, help us to not only see rebellion in our own lives, but Lord, in our immediate family, especially as parents. Dear God, help us to look for the warning signs in our family, in our children. And Lord, help us to be attentive and ask for wisdom to know how to tend to the situation. Oh, dear God, please help us. And Lord, there may be some here tonight where the relationship with family members is strained. Maybe money or things are more important than a relationship. And I pray that you just restore relationships. That's what's important. Help rebels to understand that. Please, dear God, do a work in our hearts. I pray. Amen. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed.